sleep. To be.
Okay, we're recording. Hey, everyone.
Live and in action. Hello.
What's up, girls and gays? Welcome to Rate, Debate, Recreate. I'm Sammy Purcell.
And I'm Logan Keller.
And we're back for episode 6. Today, we wanted to celebrate the ones that almost made it, but didn't. Just like us.
We were so close.
Just like this close. Just a little more talent. We would. Just kidding. Oh, man.
I guess one thing we can start with is just a recap of what the show does. So this is Rate, Debate, Recreate. And every week we bring two shows to the table. Sammy and I will each rate the shows out of 10. We'll have a friendly debate, discussion, call it what you may, about the shows. And at the end, we will use our almost good enough for Broadway knowledge to recreate a part of the show to make it even better.
Even better. Mine is kind of silly this week. I'm just going to say that in advance. My recreate is not my strongest.
Strongest suit?
Not my strongest suit. Ooh, foreshadowing? Maybe.
Perhaps.
Okay, so just going on, this every week we have a category. And this week, that category is, drumroll please. Non-Broadway shows. So my show is The Last 5 Years, which was never actually on Broadway. It was off Broadway.
And my show is Bombshell from the musical about Marilyn Monroe from the hit TV show Smash.
Smash Hive. Woo! It's a great show. Wonderful stuff. Okay, so to start out, we'll just give a little summary of each show. I think that might be kind of difficult for Logan, but I'm going to try. So I'll start. I'll give a little summary of The Last 5 Years, and then we'll both rate our show and the other person's show. Here we go. So The Last 5 Years follows Jamie and Kathy and their, you guessed it, 5-year relationship. So for Kathy, the show starts at the end of their relationship, and for Jamie, it starts at the beginning. I'm not really sure why. I think it's just to make it fun. Make it interesting. Keep you guessing. So the show kind of crosses the two storylines in the middle, so they're only ever actually on stage together like once or twice, I think. Jamie is a writer, Kathy is an actress, and basically Jamie becomes really successful early on in his career while Kathy is still struggling. And he becomes more neglectful, she becomes more envious, and it all comes to a head when Jamie cheats on her and they get a divorce. Super uplifting stuff. Yeah, so I'm going to give The Last 5 Years. I went back and forth on this, but I was feeling kind of down on it the other day. So I'm going to give it a 6.8 out of 10. Suruses? Surus? Is that how you say it?
Surus.
Surus. Okay.
I think that's it.
Awesome. Great. Proud of myself.
Fun fact to all you listeners, I actually sang If I Didn't Believe in You in the show that Sammy wrote. And that whole song, she rewrote the one lyric and she changed Sirius to Problem. I was like, but that's some new problem. I didn't either. I was like, what the fuck is a Sirius? I still don't know.
And I was like, if we were going to make you like, because he's supposed to be Jewish, right?
Yes.
So I was like, if we were going to make you a Jewish character, we would have had to add in like a lot more stuff. And I was like, if you aren't Jewish, it's kind of weird that you're saying that. I don't know.
Yeah, so, no, I agree with the change.
Thank you. My like masterful lyrical rewrite.
Okay, I will give a quick synopsis of Bombshell, kind of. So this is going to have a couple main prongs. So Bombshell isn't actually a real musical yet. So right now, what Bombshell is essentially clips put together from the show Smash, which created a musical about Marilyn Monroe. What happened, though, is that they created the show. Steven Spielberg was a producer. There are a couple other big names writing and producing it. And they ended up loving like what they created in Smash, like the fake musical, so much that they decided to turn it into a real musical. So that was announced in, I think, 2015. And I don't know if if production was delayed or what happened, but it kind of just fell off the radar and like wasn't really talked about. But then in June of 2020, just a couple months ago, the cast of Smash had a virtual reunion. And at the end of the reunion, it was announced that the musical Bombshell is going to be produced and is going to go to Broadway. So that's exciting.
I have some questions, but we can talk about that later.
So what I'm going to be referencing in this talk today is the musical Bombshell. So I, as much as I love the TV show, I'm going to try my best to talk about just the musical of it. So we're taking out the Ivy drama, we're taking out, you know, the asshole director, all of that, and really focusing on the clips that we saw in the music, in the TV show Smash, but in the musical Bombshell. Now, to give a quick synopsis of that, it essentially follows Marilyn Monroe's life from when she was 10 years old. We see her, her real name, Norma Jean, and her kind of like mentally unstable mother who affects her. And you get to see this like process of growth and then like the corruption, honestly, of the handling of Marilyn Monroe. And I honestly didn't really know much about her before, like outside of, you know, her status as like a sex icon and stuff. Yeah. And to, prior to Smash, I mean, I was also what, like 14 when Smash came out? How old were we?
I think we were in high school. Yeah.
Maybe 2011. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I learned a lot about Marilyn Monroe from this, and it actually, I think, does a really good job of kind of like summarizing the big events of her life, including some of the like shows that she was a part of. So the song Let's Be Bad in the musical Bombshell, what that song actually is in the context of the show is Marilyn in the musical, so the musical within a musical within a TV show, but musical, Marilyn's performance in the musical Some Like It Hot, and it, but instead of it just being her performing that, it's her showing up to set late and drunk and on drugs and like that. So it, I think it does a really cool job of analyzing her life through that lens. At the same time, just need to state a fact, which is that this isn't like a stage show. There's been like concerts produced where there's like choreography and they do all the music of the show. And I watched one of those in anticipation for this, but this isn't actually a stage show yet. So I'm just going from clips and stuff.
Awesome. That was good. It's like kind of like Inception, but a musical. It's like a dream.
Yeah.
And also, don't they say like in Smash at some point, they're like, I can't believe like a musical hasn't been written about Marilyn Monroe, which is like so true.
Yeah,
I feel like that is like
for real. And dare I say, I'm not one to be like too bold or into my own claims, but I think I have a claim that is at that level that I'm gonna make at the end of this and during my recreate section.
Oh, the anticipation is killing me. Okay. So do you want to rate Bombshell for us?
Oh, yes. I'm going to rate Bombshell 6 out of 10 Red Hot Mamas.
Ow!
I'm the queen of the Red Hot Mamas.
All right. It's going to be hard to separate Smash from this.
I know.
Smash gets a 10 out of 10.
Yes, agreed.
I'm going to rate Bombshell... seven out of 10 Red Hot Mamas.
Okay.
It's fun.
Okay. This is getting into my debate part for the last 5 years. So I'll try not, I just want to give it 2 scores is the truth.
Well, I just rated Bombshell like purely on music. If we're actually rating like a full musical, Bombshell doesn't exist. So that's like a 2 out of 10.
That's a very fair. Okay, I'll just wait for the debate section. I'm just gonna give the last 5 years a 6 out of 10 Cirruses.
Did you pick the higher one or the lower one?
The lower one.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right. So should we get into this?
Yeah, let's go.
So I guess I'll start. Mm-hmm. And this is where, this is kind of where I got kind of down on the last 5 years when I was thinking about it, like this past like week or so. So I think it's pretty well known that the show is based off on Jason Robert Brown's relationship with his now ex-wife, and her name is Teresa O'Neill. She actually sued him because she thought the musical violated the NDAs that they signed when they got divorced, and that was based off of one song, which was subsequently cut, just called I Could Be in Love with Someone Like You, which is a great song, but it just like gave too much away about her, in her opinion. So she was like, no, fuck that. Like, no, you're not using that.
Yeah. And you can definitely still hear that in other parts of the show.
Yeah.
I could be in love with someone.
I know, it's that's like the motif.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Jason Robert Brown loves a motif, like to an excessive amount, maybe. But anyway. That song was replaced with Chic's a Goddess, which is a great song too. But I think it's funny that like that's the main song she was so pissed about. And I feel like everyone still knows that song. Like I Could Be in Love with Someone like you. Because like Norbert Leo Butts, who is Jamie in the show, like he does it at his little concerts. Like Aaron Tveit does it at his concert. Like they all like, that's like a staple of like tenor boy songs. I don't know. But yeah, so, and I that's what kind of got me down on it a little bit. Just because if what I think is correct and like he's supposed to be Jamie and she's supposed to be Kathy, I think this musical is like really, really sympathetic to Jamie and it just shouldn't be at all. Like, yes, Kathy is jealous, like, of course, but like, and it does give her some moments to like get into her psyche, like specifically like the end of Climbing Uphill where she's like, I will not be the girl, you know, like serving beer.
Stuck at home in the verbs.
Yes. The baby, the dog in the garden of verbs. Like, fuck that. But
Google but, Sammy Purcell Climbing Uphill to see Sammy singing that song.
I did. Got really it's a great song. It that's mm-hmm. like that's one of the highlights.
It was you killed it.
Thanks. So she does get her moments and honestly like CM smiling is like fucking top of the show for me. Like that's the best part of it by far. Best part of the movie too, which we can talk about the movie because that's what I watched. I think it's just like interesting how much like leeway he gives Jamie and like knowing that it's about him. And if I'm getting that correct, like he is supposed to be Jamie, that's the writer. Like, and I don't know much about Teresa O'Neill, like outside of like what's on Jason Robert Brown's Wikipedia page, but like it's just like kind of bothers me.
And, like, yeah.
I don't know. And I've like talked to like mostly dudes who are like, no, maybe he had a point. Like she's so jealous. And I'm like, yeah, but he cheated on her and like gives her no like reassurance or like you see him give support like towards the beginning and that's like, that's what it's about, a relationship falling apart. But like there are things he says and things he does that just make me want to scream. And I guess like that's, I don't know. Maybe that's the point, but I don't think he like initially wrote it that way. And that's what kind of like gets me down on this musical a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, I have a few thoughts. Okay, so first I'll start with the reason I wanted to give two scores. The reason I wanted to give two scores is because to me, this is a show where like the music and the show are just like, I have to separate them. Like the last 5 years has some of the like greatest music, I think, in like a lot of musical theater, especially like if you're looking at the role of Kathy, I think all of her roles are literally like overdone audition songs. Like they're all that good.
If you've ever seen someone give someone like do a standalone concert, they sing a song from the last 5 years.
Yeah. And why wouldn't you? Like they're written, they showcase such a beautiful vocal range and they're just amazing. I agree with your take on the show itself, which I would give a much lower score to. Mm-hmm. My introduction to the last 5 years was first through one of my best friends from home. Hey, if you're listening, Kim, Kim Yoxall, we did musicals together in high school and she showed them to me and I was like, ooh, I really like this. So I started doing a lot of research. And then my next introduction to the show was me watching Azula Pacific University. I think that's what it's called, something like that, where Colleen Ballinger, also known as Miranda Sings, played Kathy. And so I watched the full stage version of that. I've since seen like other versions of the stage version and the movie. And I like am not at all sympathetic to Jamie. And I personally feel like a message from this musical is like, nobody's in the right, nobody's in the wrong. It's all, everything is everything. And like, I agree with that message, but I don't think the musical does a good job of showing that, because to me, Jamie is like so clearly way more in the wrong.
So clearly. And I think there's like this, there's like this like male mentality there. Like, mm-hmm. like the song, and you know what sucks is like the songs that portray this really well, like what I think is like missing or wrong are like fucking bangers. Like,
yeah.
A Miracle Would Happen is such a good song. Like, that's a great song. But the premise of that song is like, now that I'm married, I want to fuck everything that walks. And I'm like, and like, if that's true, that's awful. I don't know. Like, and it's supposed to be some big, like, oh, well, he's not doing it, except he does do it eventually. But like, oh, he's not doing it at the point. Like, it's fine. It's fine. It's normal to like feel that way once you're like tied down with a person. But I think that's, and I guess like that's coming from his perspective being divorced, but I'm like, maybe you just aren't married to the right person. And I just think like, it's so sympathetic to his cause. Mm-hmm. When I don't think he really has much of a cause to be sympathetic to. Like, I think she's very, obviously she's jealous, like she's envious, she's stuck, like not going anywhere really with her career, and he gets really famous really fast, but he just like doesn't. And I think like the Shmuel song, which I don't really like, I think it's like my least favorite, but I actually really like the scene in the movie, because it's the only time you see him being like sweet with her.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if that's the only time he's ever been sweet with you, like, Shiksa Goddess is all about just, like, wanting to have sex with her. But, like...
Yeah, if I didn't believe in you, it's just him manipulating the fuck out of her.
And the way... I actually want to give credit to Jeremy Jordan, because I think he is, like, this guy's a shithead. Like, I firmly believe he believes that guy's a shithead. Because yeah. When he, like, slams during If I Couldn't Believe in You, when he, like, slams his fist on the wall, like, right next to her head... Like, I was like, oh, okay, you know he's an asshole. All right.
Yeah.
All right, okay. But yeah, I just, that kind of bothers me, because I do agree that the music is, like, top tier. So
yes.
So good.
Okay, can I give a little hot take on Bombshell?
Yes, go for it.
I think that for a different reason, which is that we don't have access to it, I think Bombshell suffers from a really similar issue. Because, like, I
there
obviously...
There is no story?
yet. But for now, we don't have that much of that. So, like, really, I'm just going off of the songs and the acting that we see from Megan Hilty and Catherine McPhee in those songs, which is incredible. Like, especially Megan Hilty.
Megan Hilty is a queen.
Yeah, I really love her portrayal of Marilyn. I also think that Catherine McPhee did a phenomenal job. I understand that, like, Ivy Lynn, Megan Hilty, like, is much better for the role and, like, was more talented for the role of Marilyn. And I also think that that was the point. Like, I don't think that they were blind to that. I think that there, like, the whole point was that there were a lot of factors at play in addition to the raw talent. Like, there was the drama behind the scenes and the asshole director, David, or whatever his name was.
Commodore Norrington. He's in Pirates of the Caribbean. that's who he is.
Okay, well, he had, like, that whole thing with Catherine McPhee's character. And I do think Catherine McPhee, like, did really, really well in the parts where she, like, was in it. I just think she, like, isn't as cut for Marilyn as Megan Hilty was.
Absolutely not. Like, that was the toughest thing about the show, Smash, is like, in what world does Megan Hilty show up to that audition and you say, nah, I don't know. Like, we're going to look at other options. Sorry about it.
Like, in the world where the director is fucking Catherine McPhee.
Exactly. That's true.
Yeah, so I'm basically going off the music is the headline, but let's talk about the music, because I think because they weren't able to portray the story of Marilyn. I almost said Melanie. Marilyn.
Like Christopher Nolan. I was like, what?
Marilyn Monroe. I think they had to do a lot of that storytelling really well in the songs. And I think that the songs actually do like a really great job of doing that. Like we start off with Let Me Be Your Star, which is so perfect for so many reasons because, okay, I know I said I'm going to stick to the musical Bombshell, but I have to just point out
you have to talk about
how
Smash.
Phenomenal the juxtaposition of that song in the musical Bombshell is with that song in the pilot episode of Smash, where they're both fighting for this role and sing. Oh, it's so beautiful.
It's really good.
But also like it does apply really well to Marilyn, and it's kind of like this, the beginning and end of the show to me are, they're both like a fact is that they're both outside of Marilyn, of her life. Like it's more of kind of like an overview maybe, or like a, yeah, it's kind of like a breaking that wall of, you know, being within the confines of when she was alive, like what she might say now. Mm-hmm. And that's with Let Me Be Your Star and Don't Forget Me. The second song is when she's like that 10-year-old girl and her mom's like a bitch to her. And then the second to last song, she dies. So the first and last song kind of exist outside of that, which I think is really, really cool. And they also show like the same quality in her, but kind of like from two different perspectives. Like the first is Let Me Be Your Star is more of like the Hollywood starlet that's like wants to be seen, wants to be loved, wants to be acclaimed, like wants to be known. Whereas Don't Forget Me, it's the exact same thing. She's like, don't forget me, but it's like, don't forget me, like the real me. Don't forget, like, not just what you think of me because of how I'm portrayed, but like, don't forget the real parts of me. And I think that that is so cool. I don't know, the way they do that blows my mind. Also, this cast is like so star-studded. It is utterly ridiculous.
Wait, the cast of Bombshell or the cast of Smash?
Both. So I'm just talking about Smash at this point, let's be real.
That's really fine. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
So just to name some of these stars, we got Megan Hilty, Catherine McPhee, Deborah Messing, Christian Borle, Jeremy Jordan, Lamar Odom, Andy Mientis, Krista Rodriguez.
Rewind. What? Lamar Odom?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. In season 2.
No, do you mean Leslie Odom?
Oh my god.
Can we keep that in?
Yeah. Spoiler alert, I'm high.
I was like, Lamar Odom. Wow.
Oh my god. Yeah, they really got, they went big.
Love you, okay. Leslie Odom Jr. You're shit.
We got Krista Rodriguez.
Yes.
Wesley Taylor, Jack Davenport, Brian D'Arcy James, and we even have for one, it's like one or two episode arc, Uma Thurman.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
She
Lin-Manuel is also in it at some point as
oh yeah, he's a guy. Yeah.
And Christian Bohr's like, fuck that guy.
Also, remember that one subplot line, which was Christian Borle's boyfriend, or that guy he was seeing, he found out he was a Republican?
Yeah. Shag relatable. Just kidding. Oh my god, wow. Okay. Yeah, that is star-studded, I will say.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And I want to kind of, so, I feel like, in some respects, this is a really good debate pairing because they're kind of like opposite on the cool kid musical spectrum. So I don't know about you, but like the last 5 years was the first like quote unquote cool musical that I got into. Like when I was in high school and I was talking to people about musicals, I'd be like, but do you know the last 5 years? Like, do you know that one? And, you know, just like being a dick because I was 16. And Bombshell, in contrast, is maybe not, and I guess this is more of an indictment of Smash, and I love Smash, but I feel like everyone was kind of watching Smash to like hate watch it. But I wasn't.
I think it has a cult
really
following.
Like, of course
I loved
silly,
it.
I feel like people really hated on it. And I was like, listen, we don't get this a lot. Like, this is a big mainstream show that, like,
yes,
maybe isn't, like, completely accurate about how much drama goes on behind the scenes of musicals and how much, like, apparently sex is happening.
Yeah. Honestly. But
I loved it. I was like, this
I
is
did
great.
Too.
Like, I'm having so much fun. There's, like, musical numbers every episode. It was,
yes,
like, adult Glee. Kind of.
Yes, it really was.
Yeah, it's like when I moved on from Glee. It was great. But I feel like they kind of operate like in tandem that way. Like,
yeah,
the last 5 years when you're 16 is the one where you're like, oh, I'm so cool. I know about musicals that aren't Wicked. But Bombshell is, or Smash, again, talking about Smash.
Same thing.
Just like switch to Smash.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh my gosh. But yeah. No, I really love Smash. And do you remember, speaking of the last, going back to the last 5 years?
Yes.
Were you in that room? So I think we've said this before, but we went to Vanderbilt together. Were you in that room when we all got together to watch the movie? Like, everyone was so stoked.
Yes.
Yes. I just remember, like, being so fucking excited for the movie to come out because it was the only time I'd, like, watched the Norbert Leo Butz and Sherry Renee Scott version on YouTube, but it's like very old and very grainy and like all this other stuff. But I was just like so excited for the movie, and I kind of want to talk about it because I feel like there's a general feeling that it doesn't quite work as a movie, just because it's like normally staged where they're not on screen together, and in a movie obviously they must be on screen together. Or it's kind of weird. I guess they could have like filmed it like a stage version, but they didn't. So, and having to like entertain or like interact with the other person on screen with you kind of creates like a different acting style than just sitting there on stage and singing to nobody, to the audience. But I like genuinely really like this movie. I don't know how you feel, but there are parts of it that I am less enthusiastic about. But I like genuinely really like it. I think Anna Kendrick like shines in a lot of spaces, and Jeremy Jordan, I don't want to shit talk him, and I'm not going to shit talk him. He's very talented. I think he shines in less places, but like shines just as much in some. I don't know. I think I like a little bit. I don't know. I'm trying to be nice. I really,
I
really like him, but they're like, he's very theater, if that makes sense.
Yes, that does
he's
make
like
sense.
He's like the extra, the most extra of the extra is what Jeremy Jordan is. And I love him for it. Like, I always, it's always fun. It's never boring, which I enjoy. But I don't know. How do you feel about the movie?
I have qualms with it, but I don't think it's a bad movie. I would definitely call it bad. I don't know if it works better on stage or as a movie. Yeah, because the thing is again, I feel like I'm just so into this show for the music.
That's the thing.
So like, part of me did like that. I don't know. It was like really I thought the movie was really visually cool. Like, some of the scene, like I know that like the driving scenes were really cool, and there's just a lot of like fun stuff to look at that I guess on the stage because it's not like a glitzy show by any means at all.
Yeah, it's very bare.
So yeah, I don't know. I'm not gonna lie, I think that if I hadn't actually thought about this, I would say the stage version works better. But now that I'm actually like having to defend it, I might think it works better as a movie.
So I think it probably works better as a stage version. But the only stage version I've ever had the ability to see is the very grainy off-Broadway production. So, like, and there are parts, like, this is kind of getting into the nitty-gritty, but there are parts of that that I think work, like, I guess breaking down, like, Norbert Leo Betz's portrayal. I love his last name, but his portrayal of Jamie versus like Jeremy Jordan's. And I do think that Jeremy Jordan is like more overtly an asshole, which I yes. really appreciate. And he also, by contrast, is like very sweet with her towards the beginning. And that like makes it more infuriating, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a thing that Norbert Leo Butz does that I always wish, I wish it was like incorporated into the movie. And there are a few moments like this, like, so Norbert Leo Butz during A Miracle Had Happened, towards the end of that, which I really hate Jeremy Jordan's version of that in the movie. I'm going to say that. I think like he tries to do something different, which I get, like he doesn't want to sing it exactly like he does, but he does like a weird like rhythmic thing. And I just, it, that part really bothers me. He like doesn't sing in time. I don't know. It just bothers me. But at the end, when they're doing like, I'll be there soon, Kathy, like that whole thing, he's really, really great. But there's a thing that Norbert Leo Butz does when he says, I'm so proud of you, baby. Like talking to Kathy on the phone after mm-hmm. her audition. Jeremy Jordan just like says it. He's like, I'm so proud of you, baby. Like, oh yes, he loves her. He's so proud of her. Norbert Leo Butz like signals for the check while he says it. Like he's not even really paying attention to what he's saying.
Uh-huh.
And I remember watching that on screen and being like so viscerally hurt that he would like choose that moment to be like, oh, check please. Like, and I think that like there are little moments that I think are afforded to actors when they're alone on stage mm-hmm. like not having to think about, and I guess like during that he's on the phone with her, but they're like sharing screen time because she's not really even present during like when he sings.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So I think there are like things that are afforded to actors when they're just like alone in their own space on stage. And they don't have to really worry about a physical other person to interact off of. It's just all in their head. So like mm-hmm. whatever the other person is doing, they can visualize that for themselves.
Yeah.
And you can't really do that when you're on stage with another person.
Yeah, I definitely think the movie suffers from them being together in real time. Like, I think that is an aspect of the musical that's so powerful because it's, is it one or two songs where they're,
I think it's, so it's the next, or the next 10
Goodbye
minutes.
Until Tomorrow.
Goodbye Until Tomorrow. Yeah, so when they cross over each other.
Yeah.
And then at the end, where he's at the end and she's at the beginning.
Yes.
Confusing, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't know, because I do think that makes those moments, like, that's like all you actually see of them together, really.
Yeah.
But other times you see, like, one of their perspectives on it.
Maybe that's why I had such trouble with the movie this time around. Just because, like, when they're together, it's less of a, this is how I remember this moment, and more of a, this is how it really happened.
Yeah.
And I think,
and I think there is a lot of power in, like, how they each perceive the other's actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. Ooh, wow. Just came to a realization here. In real time, folks, you heard it here. Oh, man. I have some other, like, random notes, but do you have anything else on Bombshell?
I have a bop list to go through, and then the rest of mine is going to be with Recreate.
Okay, cool. Go for it.
So, yeah, we want to talk about bops. Let's talk about bops. Mm-hmm. Let Me Be Your Star. Yes.
Mm.
Smash. Never Give All the Heart. 20th Century Fox Mambo. National fucking Pastime.
Woo!
History Is Made at Night. I Never Met a Wolf Who Didn't Love to Howl, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Secondhand White Baby Grand. Best song in the show, in my opinion, is They Just Keep Moving the Line. That song is unbelievable.
So good.
Let's Be Bad, Our Little Secret, Secondhand White Baby Grand reprise, and then Don't Forget Me, and the show with that.
That's a good bop list. I do wish this is more on the story of Bombshell, but mm-hmm. the songs that she has with Joe DiMaggio are like, or the character of Joe DiMaggio, are so, so, so sweet. And I just wonder how they would do that IRL, just because he literally hit her. I don't know.
Like, yeah.
Like it was abusive. And those songs.
But I also think that the song, like, they showed their bad falling out moments too.
Yeah, I was about to ask you, because I haven't watched it.
I actually
don't remember.
Yeah, because it's on the song, like, on Lexington and 52nd Street.
Mm-hmm.
he gets like really mad at this stuff. I don't remember. Honestly, I don't remember.
Yeah. I don't know. No, it's just, we can sit here and like think about how they would actually put this together with
in the show.
Scenes,
and perhaps we'll see.
Scenes. Yeah. And he just comes off so sweet in those two songs. But anyway, I don't really have much of a bop list for the last 5 years because again, like I think every single one, except maybe Shmuel song. I
like the Shmuel song.
Really?
Yeah. I like it in a like, I don't know. I agree that it's probably the worst song on the show.
Yeah. I like the scene in the movie because it's the happiest scene in the movie.
Yeah.
Besides maybe like, I Can Do Better Than That. But the song, I'm always like, whatever. You're telling the story about a clockmaker? I don't care. I'm kind of like Anna Kendrick in the movie where she's like, that was kind of long, but okay. but yeah, I mean, Still Hurting, Chick's a Goddess. CM Smiling is like prime time. I want to sing that song in my own showcase. Mm. When I have my own showcase, I will be singing CM Smiling. Moving Too Fast, a part of that. Summer in Ohio, Next 10 Minutes. Miracle Would Happen, also going to sing in my showcase. Climbing Up Hill, If I Didn't Believe in You. I Can Do Better Than That. Nobody Needs to Know. Makes me really upset. Goodbye Until Tomorrow.
TBT to win. You turned Nobody Needs to Know into a gay scene.
No, that wasn't me. I wasn't there for that. I was abroad.
I mean, wait, I meant If I Didn't Believe in You.
Oh, yeah, I did. You did. That's true.
Me.
It was with you and Benji. Shout yeah. out Benji.
Yes, Benji.
Yeah. That was good, though. I think you guys did a good job.
Yeah, that was fun.
It was another version of, like, he had to just, like, react to you saying horrible things to him on stage. Oh, man. All right. Anything else for you?
I'm ready for Recreate whenever you are, Slammy.
I've been avoiding this. So I've been talking
so much. Really excited to hear yours. Okay, for context, I have seen Sammy's in our doc that we share, but I have no idea what any of it means.
So we pushed back recording this like a week just because I was moving. So we were like, oh, let's just put it back a week. But before we knew we were pushing it back, I texted Logan. I was like, I can't think of anything. I came up with something really stupid and it's in the top. But I just kept it. So Do you want to go first or should I go first?
I kind of want you to go first.
Okay, should I have you guess?
Yeah, I'm not looking at the dog.
To? Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys know, all y'all know, we've talked about it multiple times during this podcast, A Miracle Would Happen. So that was also in an original cast show. It wasn't one that either one of us directed. And the original cast was the group that me and Logan were in college. Shout out OC. Anyway. I have a very vivid memory of the person who sang A Miracle Would Happen, like getting notes from our like faculty advisor, Dr. Love. Shout out to Dr. Love. And he was specifically giving him notes on the, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, we're fine, we're fine. Like that whole thing where you say it's fine or we're fine like 7 million times in a row. And he was like, you have to make every single one of them different. Like, you say it 17 times, none of them can be the same. So I was thinking, I just have like, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, stuck in my head. And I was thinking about like, what that specific it's fine lyric would be for like other movies or people or musicals or whatever popped into my head. I'm telling you, this was extremely half-baked, but I'm going to go through... No, yours is better. Hold on.
No, it was a stoner joke.
Oh. All right. Half baked. Full baked? Half baked. Okay. So I'm going to sing. I basically just picked another word other than fine.
Okay.
And it relates back to doesn't have to be musical. I'll start with musicals to make it easier for you. But it could be like famous people, movies, whatever. So this is the first one. This is a musical. So if this musical had a miracle would happen, their version of it's fine would be he's swine.
Charlotte's Web the musical.
Great job. Instead of the song Some Pig.
Wait, we would, is that right?
Yes.
I literally was joking. I didn't know that was actually a musical, Sammy.
It is a musical. And there's a song called Some Pig. And instead of singing that, they would just sing about how he's swine.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Okay, here's the next one. This is also a musical. Can you define?
Twenty-fifth annual Putnam County.
Yes, 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 yes.
I was thinking of giving a joke answer of Wicked. Like, can you define gravity?
Defying. All right, here we go. This is also a musical, and then I'll do some of the other ones I thought were funny that are not musicals. Okay. Lahaim.
Fiddler. Potato pancake.
Potato pancake. Oh, man. Okay, so this is not a musical. It's a famous person. Okay.
Okay.
It's the climb.
Miley Cyrus.
Yes. Okay. This one might be a little, it's a little more recent. I don't know if you've seen this movie. It's a movie. It's brine.
I have no idea.
An American Pickle.
I've never heard
starring of starring Seth Rogen. Yeah, all right, I'm done. I've embarrassed myself.
I liked that. That was cute.
Well, thank you. I try. All right, you go.
Okay. So, this honestly, I also texted Sammy last week and said I have no idea what I'm doing, but this became one of my favorites because, like I said at the beginning, I have a bold statement to make regarding, oh wait, I'm going to introduce this first. I wrote a whole introduction. Okay, so what I love so much about Bombshell and the reason why I wanted to talk about it in our show about musicals, even though it's literally not a musical, is the whole concept. Like, the concept is taking, first of all, someone who absolutely should have a musical written about them that doesn't, Marilyn Monroe, take this universally known person, but not necessarily universally understood, and expand upon their life from their perspective, not from the one that you know, are painted from movies and TV and news and everything. So I was trying to think about what other big stars in history I would like to see something like this made about. And the answer to this one I got immediately. And the answer is Selena.
Oh my God.
Not Selena Gomez, the one Selena Gomez was named after.
Absolutely.
Selena Quintanilla. So she is an icon to me. I have my mom like tells me that when I was literally like 2 and 3 years old, I would listen to her nonstop and I would always ask for her to be played. I've always listened to her music. I love her so much. And she is often referred to as both the Latina Madonna and the Latina Marilyn Monroe. So I think it also works as a parallel to Bombshell. But also, like, how do we not have a Selena musical yet? Like,
absolutely. Like, that's ripe. That is right there for the taking, guys. Come on.
Yes. So I don't even need, like, recognition if someone does this, but, like, I need to have a, you know, I need to like get to show up to something, or I don't know. That's
you
what
can
I
consult. You
yeah,
can
that's I can consult.
Selena.
Okay, so the title of it, instead of Bombshell, I was thinking it could be called Estrella. And for those of you who don't know, Selena has, actually, I guess I should explain who Selena is in case people don't know. There's a lot of people, especially, So Selena Quintanilla was a Tejana pop star in Texas in the 90s and sang some incredible music, was like an icon in bringing like Mexican-inspired Tejano music to the scene in the U.S. and in making it like more universally popular. And is to this day, I would say, like extremely beloved in the Latinx community. And she was murdered in 1995 by the president of her fan club. If you haven't, I highly recommend watching the movie Selena. Jennifer Lopez plays her and does like an wait, is it J-Lo?
Yeah, it's J-Lo.
Yeah, and does like an amazing job, I think. That's some context on who she is. And she absolutely should have a musical made about her.
Yeah, especially so, like, I don't know. She was like, she was so young when she was like, killed, and it's just awful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I would call it Estrella. Another fun thing that I'm not a designer, so I can't do this, but someone who's, you know, going to make the show that's designing it, I was thinking that it could be, so Selena has like a really iconic signature. She like does her S, like a really big S, and then like the rest of it in a line in cursive with an underline. And Estrella and Selena both have S's and A's and a lot of the same letters. So I was thinking you could like somehow in the title call out Selena in the Estrella. Okay, so here are some elements why I think that this would legitimately be a really good show, and also kind of some parallels to Bombshell. I think that it would be really, really cool to bring Tejano music to Broadway. I did some research, and I, to my knowledge at least, and please let me know if I'm wrong, that I wasn't able to find a single Broadway show that has Tejano, like even Tejano inspired music in the show. Even like shows that have Latinx music represented, it's very different types of music than Tejano music is. So I think that would just be really cool to introduce that style to Broadway. And who better to do that with than Selena? She is literally called to this day the queen of Tejano music. And she was the one who popularized it, like I mentioned. So what Tejano music is it's a really cool kind of mix of Mexican, European, and like Texan music styles. And so it's usually like Mexican and Spanish lyrics and vocal placements and traditions and stuff. And the musical tunes are very like German and Czech. So it's kind of like polka and the waltz. There's like accordions and guitars and stuff. Yeah, so that's what Tejano music is. It could be really cool to bring that to Broadway. Another thing that I think really works about Bombshell that would really work with Estrella is Marilyn Monroe, I think, has like a really distinct look, both like how she looks and like her looks that she turns. She has a lot of like outfits that I think she's just like remembered with and in. And Selena, I think, is the exact same. She has so many trademark looks and outfits with her like bedazzled like red like jumpsuits that she would wear, or she and her blown out hair that she would always have. And a fun fact that I don't think a lot of people know is that Selena actually co-designed, or in some cases solo designed, a lot of the stuff that she wore. And she actually had opened 2 or 3 boutiques in Texas where she sold her own fashion line. So yeah, all that is like, imagine the power of some of those outfits on stage. Like, I think that they would work so, so well. And then the last thing is, I just wanted to provide like one song idea for whoever out there is listening and gonna make this a musical. And I realized that the song Don't Forget Me from Bombshell works really well in Spanish. I did a little rewrite of Don't Forget Me in Spanish. Also, fun trivia fact is that Sammy and I first met in a Spanish class that we had together.
Oh my gosh.
I know, right? Rincón. Hola, Raquel. ¿Cómo estás?
Oh, man. That was fun. Good times.
Yeah, it was good times. Okay. If I try to sing this, I'm not going to get the markings right, you know? So I'm just going to read it. But it's to the tune of, if you see someone's hurt or in need of a hand,
yeah,
don't forget me. Yeah, okay. Si ves a alguien dañado y que necesite un mano, no me olvides. O escuchas una melodía llorando algún baby grand, no me olvides. Cuando le cantes feliz cumpleaños a alguien que ames, o ves si ves diamantes de cerellas que fueran todos gratis, por favor, di que no lo harás. Yo rezo para que no me olvides. So, Selena could sing that in Spanish because we also shouldn't forget her. I think it would be really cool to have a musical that like defines her style and point of view and remembers her by that.
Yeah, that was so beautiful. Like, mine was so dumb and yours was so well thought out.
Okay, I'm a little offended at you calling yours dumb so much because it's pretty much the same thing I did with Courtney Take Your Break.
That might be true. No, I'm gonna bring it next week now. That was so beautiful. I agree. Selena's great. If you haven't seen the movie,
yes, watch.
It's so good.
Also, especially if you didn't know who she was before this.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. Like, no shame in that, but learn.
Learn. She's an icon. Oh, yes. My gosh. I think I watched that in school. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. I did too.
Wow. That was really great.
Wow. Thank you. You're welcome. Well, what a wonderful episode we had today, Slammy.
It was so fun. I feel like Bombshell won.
It's kind of hard to say. I don't know that either can win this week,
like,
when
full...
Bombshell is not really a full musical.
And I was about to say, we both like have qualms with the
song. Yeah.
So this was like a music debate.
Yes. Well, I mean, hey, this is maybe a good reminder for people, which is that these shows that we're talking about are not necessarily like Sammy and I's favorite shows. Like,
no.
Some of my favorite shows we're not going to be talking about, but we just picked shows from a list, kind of like playground style rules, where we each picked one at a time. And we picked ones that we were really excited to talk about. So we talked about these and had a great discussion.
Yeah, we did. I always enjoy discussing things with you. This is, yes, fun.
Likewise.
If no one is listening to this, at least we get to talk about musicals.
I know, like, it's amazing.
It's fun. All right, should we preview next week?
Yes, I think we should.
Okay, I have it pulled up.
Okay.
It's a very basic category. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so next week's category is, drumroll please, New York!
I have now resided for over 3 years.
Where I hope to move at some point.
Where I hope Sammy moves also at some point.
That'd be great. That would be, let's just put that into the universe right now.
I have been. Don't worry.
Good. I'm glad. That's kind of a broad category. I don't know if y'all are going to be able to guess that one.
Yeah, I do think that, both the shows we will be talking to are very New York shows.
Very New York.
Like,
in
not they're
ways.
Not just about, yes,
yeah,
they're not just about New York, but they're like, New York is like kind of a character, I would say.
Yeah, I would say. Oh, I'm so excited.
Me too.
All right, everyone, thank you so much for continuing to listen.
Yes.
This
is where we'll
it.
You can join our Patreon and OnlyFans,
we'll,
and all that stuff.
Our OnlyFans. All right, bye everyone.
Bye.
Rain.